Act One DeSales University Theater is celebrating the holidays with a fresh take on a beloved story with Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella. This magical musical opens on November 29th and runs through December 10th on the main stage of the Labuda Center for the Performing Arts. Originally written by Rodgers and Hammerstein for live television in 1957, this production is a recent Broadway adaptation with a new book written by award-winning playwright Douglas Carter Bean. It's also the winner of the 2013 Tony Award for Best Revival of a Musical and features Rodgers and Hammerstein's much-loved songs including In My Own Little Corner, Impossible, It's Possible, and 10 Minutes Ago. These classics accompany a contemporary story that is both romantic and hilarious. Directing the production is guest artist Amanda Pasquini, a director, performer, and the associate director of education at the Walnut Street Theater in Philadelphia. Of her time here, Pasquini says, "Working with the incredibly talented students of DeSales University has been such a joy, and it's a pleasure to lead Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella, a musical that's been defying the impossible for decades. In this new retelling, Ella not only seeks to find her prince, but seeks to create a better reality for her community." This is WDIY 88.1 Lehigh Valley Public Radio, and you are tuned in to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. I remain Kate Scuffle, your host, and this evening I'm talking with Professor Ann Lewis, Division Head of Performing Arts at DeSales University. Welcome, Anne.
Thank you, Kate.
It's great to have you. I mean, it's such a delightful addition to the usual lineup of holiday offerings, first of all. It just seems wonderful.
We thought so, too. that's why we chose it. Just because we thought it was different. And, you know, everybody's always trying to do the Scrooge story. Right. And we just thought this would be a nice family show that, you know, people could bring their kids to and it'd be okay.
Well, and what's interesting, too, is that there's that, you know, it's Cinderella, it's wonderful, I'm sure it's a beautiful production, yet there's this, to me, really intriguing angle of these, shall we say, updated or adapted book or script by Douglas Carter Bean that does a few things like introducing some new characters, a couple of different plot twists. Could you, without spoilers, or without, you know, share a little bit of what feels different about this story and how did it, what about it seemed intriguing for you guys?
Well, you know, when you go back to the original and from 1957, there's a lot of references to what was common at the time then. So that kind of opens the door for modern adaptations. And I know Rodgers and Hammerstein is very, the trust, I guess, that, you know, controls that. They're very particular about, you know, what kind of adaptations are done, you know, with their name on it. Uh-huh. Because I believe it is Oscar Hammerstein's grandson who is in charge of the of the estate. So they are very particular. So I know that they took great pains with this particular version. And it very much speaks to the times. So there's Cinderella. And Cinderella is, as you mentioned in your brief synopsis, is that she's trying to make her world just a better place by employing kindness, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it's pointing up those things that we can look to today that are tangible, that we can employ to change our particular little world, right? So I think that's what they did. And, you know, for instance, the prince is not called the prince. He's called... His name is Christopher, and they call him Topher, and which is, you know, it's kind of funny, you know. And then they have people who are trying to, you know, kind of take over the kingdom, you know. And he, because he was so young, the premise of this is that Cinderella and Topher have both lost parents, so that they have that in common. You know, and that they have to forge their own way. And it because of the way it's shaped like that, it makes it compelling in that they're both trying to be better people. And that they are, you know, at the end, they're going to do that together, which is very exciting, you know, young love and, you know, both with the idea of just that they're going to try to make the world a better place, even with all of its problems, right, and working through it. And that's what it does in the play. You know, they work through a couple of problems, and it's fun. It's nice. And they have the typical kind of, you know, bad guy in it, and and which is handled very with a lot of fun, you know, by that particular actor as well as the cast. So it's a fun piece in that it is challenging in that it makes you think about how can I change my world, you know, in whatever way I can, small as it is. And that may be something as simple as, you know, telling somebody, hey, have a good day, you know, as opposed to, wow, this is really bad. You know, like and it could be something that simple that could change somebody's world in, you know, a second.
It's interesting because of what I've read about the production and this version too. It seems lovely that there's a sense that Ella and Topher, as you said, offer each other a sense of friendship and partnership as well. It's not just kind of the handsome prince, you know, rescues the poor Cinderella, which...
Right, the damsel in distress.
Yeah, but rather the two people find each other who can really offer each other, as you said, something to guide them, to make things better, to support each other's efforts to do that. It seems kind of ideal for a university program for young women of today. I'm sure it's if I were a young college student or an actor, I would be delighted to be portraying this Ella, you know, to have the excitement of these female characters that are also kind of vibrant and have some sense of, you know, of agency in that sense.
Right. And I think it's also, you know, interesting because this group of students, right, they grew up on the Disney movie. The 1957 was definitely, you know, accessible to them through video. And also, if they were lucky enough, you know, to get to Broadway, they would definitely have been at an age when they could have been taken to Broadway to see this, mm-hmm. you know. So they have a lot of different versions coming at them. So yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, being able to look at the story and say like, yeah, well, this Cinderella, she's got some chutzpah, you know, and does it with genuine care mm-hmm. for other people. Right. Mm-hmm. And there's a great sense of humor throughout the play, great sense of humor. And I think part of the fascinating, what was really special about this play in 2012 going into 2013 when it won the Tony, was the technical side of this thing. Hmm. Because this was one of the first times, and certainly one that was made a big deal about, was watching a costume change right on stage.
Oh,
so
okay.
There are costume changes that happen as you're watching it. You know, and nothing is revealed, and it's magical, as the story is magical, right? Because we've got our fairy godmother, and you know, and I don't want to give that away either, but there is a fairy godmother, you know, who, you know, disguises herself a little bit in the beginning, and she has a transformation in addition to Cinderella having a transformation, mm-hmm. which is really fun to watch, just fun. It is a massive costume show. It's a lot of people with a lot of dresses and things. And, you know, the outfits for the men are kind of likened to a kind of Molière, okay. you know, with the long coats and the shorter pants and, you know, the heeled shoes type of thing. So it's a beautiful piece to watch. Beautiful. From a color standpoint, from a filling the stage standpoint. And the women in the play all have paniers, you know, mm-hmm. which, you know, how we talk about hoop skirts and things like that. Mm-hmm. Paniers go off your hips, so they go off side to side. So that becomes very interesting from a movement standpoint and can be very funny. So, and of course, we try to capitalize on all of that. So,
well, I was so gonna say, anyway, as a musical set in this period and with the backstory, I would imagine the visual elements have to be incredibly magical as well. I mean, that kind of over the top holiday magic.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly right. You know, and turning little animals into coachmen and, you know, how does that happen? Right. So it's lots to figure out. It's not a small show. It is a big show. You know, there's a lot of things that have to be dealt with, you know, through lighting, through costuming, through props, through set design. So it is very challenging. So that's another avenue that's very good for our students in that they get to learn how to manage those things, you know, and still come up with a final product, because they're the ones that have to build everything, right? And they have to, you know, stitch things. Now, the costumes, to be quite frank, we have a costume package, because to build those costumes, first of all, just to build Cinderella's as well as Fairy Godmother's, those two costumes alone would take an extremely talented as well as experienced costumer. To do one of those would take probably a month.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and we only have, you know, 5 weeks to build the show. So we rented a package that was done, and then we fit that to all of our people. So that's how that gets done in a short period, like 5 weeks.
I was going to say, it often strikes me that folks tend to assume, I find audiences don't tend to imagine or envision that part of the backstage process. You know, if it's a touring show, that's different. Something comes through, it's already packaged. But the what goes on behind the scenes to create the costumes, the props, the rest of it, the extensive skill, the time, the staffing. Right. Yeah.
It's enormous.
I've seen pictures on Facebook of some of the rehearsal shots and a few PR shots for the show. The costumes look gorgeous, I have to say.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And we have a great costumer on the show. Her name is Sam Fleming. And Sam, you know, created costumes for Phantom, you know. Oh. So she's got quite a few Broadway credits to her name.
Right.
And she goes all over the country with the Les Mis tour, fixing costumes, doing new fittings and things like that. So she's very busy. And she actually said to me, you know, if we were to build this show from scratch, you know, from design on, she said it would take the better part of like 9 months.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Wow. And it's a lot, well, it's an enormous cast too, really, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, it's big. Yeah. It's big. Yeah. I think we have, I want to say in this cast, there must be at least 28 people.
Okay. All right.
That's what I want to say.
And yeah, it's exciting. So, when we were going to go to break soon, but I think it's exciting too for the students, I imagine, bringing in a guest artist as a director, a young director herself, who's worked with, I believe, has worked with Walnut Street for quite some, a Philly-based director. And that's exciting as well. And I want to talk when we come back to a little bit about, you know, overall, we talked a little bit about choosing this piece, but also about kind of the balance of choosing a season and what you look for, that balance of work that hones the students' skills as well as delivering something magical for the audiences as well.
But absolutely. Yes.
For now, yes. You've been listening to Lehigh Valley Art Salon on WDIY 88.1. I'm your host, Kate Scuffle, and this evening I'm talking with Ann Lewis, Division Head of Performing Arts at DeSales University, about the upcoming Act One DeSales University Theater holiday production of Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella, running November 29th through December 10th on the main stage of the Labuda Center for the Performing Arts. And we'll be right back after this short break.
WDIY members have exclusive access to our weekly member ticket giveaway. That's a new drawing every week for the best events the Lehigh Valley has to offer. Concerts, festivals, film screenings, theater performances, and more. Last year, WDIY gave away over 2,000 tickets to our members. So don't miss your chance. Become a WDIY member today. Call 610-694-8100 extension 4 or visit wdiy.org.
Welcome back to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon here on WDIY 88.1, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. I'm your host, Kate Scuffle, and tonight I've been chatting with Ann Lewis, Division Head of Performing Arts at DeSales University, about Act One DeSales University Theater's 54th season and their holiday production of Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella, running November 29th through December 10th at the Labuda Center for the Performing Arts. So welcome back again, Ann. Before we went to the break, we were talking a little bit, we were talking a lot about Cinderella, but we started to talk a little bit about why you chose the script, why the department chose it, what drew you to it. And I think it's interesting for our listeners to think a little bit about, you know, putting together a season essentially is not, it's not happenstance. I mean, there's a kind of balance to it. What do you tend to, now, and the Division of Performing Arts, of course, also we might want to talk about a bit too, encompasses dance at TV and film as well as theater at DeSales. So how does one go about choosing and building a season, and what's coming up in the season yet to come this year at DeSales?
Okay. Whoa, we're talking about a lot here. Okay. okay, so as far as building a season, so there's a lot of factors that go into that. First of all, it is academic. So we try to look at a four-year span and say, okay, what do we want 4 years to encompass that we can expose the students to, that they will learn the most from, and that that will set them up for going into the business world. Dance and TV film, a little different, but in theater, like it's a 2,500 year canon, right? Because you go from the Greeks, which is, you know, 400 BC, all the way up to today. And so how do we expose them to that? And what should we put out there in a 4 year cycle that is advantageous to them from an academic standpoint, as well as a career building standpoint? So that has a lot to do with it. In any one season, there has to be balance between comedy and serious play. We have to have balance between what we refer to as a straight play, which is a play typically without music, and then a musical, right? Or more than one musical. And we typically do two musicals, but one tends to be much smaller, and it tends to be in our Schubert Theater, and that's in the fall. And that tends to be a smaller cast. It tends to be a cast that is kind of being groomed and trained. So they tend to be younger, tends to be a younger cast at times. At other times, it's older students, but that's what it tends to be. We tend to do a musical review there because it tends to have the same rehearsal time. It's a little bit staggered between the main stage production and the Schubert production. So typically we do five productions a year for theater. But this year in particular, we were doing Intimate Apparel, which is a Lynn Nottage play, which went very, very well, well received. And it's just a great play. She's such a great playwright. So that's the other thing, is to pick plays that have good writers so that our students are wrapping their mouths around the words that these people have written. Mm-hmm. You know, when it's a good play, it's a good play, and you know it, you know, when you're working on it, and you have to work up to that play. You know, it's almost like playing tennis, right? You don't want to play with people that are, have a lower ability than you, because then you're not growing, right? So when you challenge our students, or when we challenge our students with very good material, they have to step up to the plate, right? So that's part of, that has everything to do with how we choose a season. And the balance between, you know, the comedy and the serious is also because we have a subscription base. And, you know, we're trying to, now more than ever, we're trying to have our subscribers who have been so loyal and so good to us over the decades that we've been around, is to offer them new material, because, you know, otherwise, you know, we're rehashing something. And some of them have been around for a length of time where they would have seen that already. So that's not something they want to see. They want to be challenged. They want to see new things, right? So that's what we do there. And all of that becomes a real balancing act. As far as like where our season's going from Cinderella, the next play that we're doing is Twelfth Night, Shakespeare's Twelfth Night. And that's going to be a lot of fun, and done very differently. It's being done with a 50s Paris theme, you know, which is really pretty close, you know, with great lines, you know. And so that should be a lot of fun. That's the visual construct for the play. And then after that, we're going to be doing The Drowsy Chaperone for theater. And that is another musical, a lot of fun. And that is a piece that is kind of an homage to the very old musicals from like the 20s and 30s. So that's going to be very different and a lot of fun. That was also on Broadway. So anyway, that's why we would pick, you know, Cinderella for right now. And then as you, you know, you refer to that, we have a whole performing arts program. So we have dance and TV film as well. And our dancers just finished doing what we refer to as ECC, which is the Emerging Choreographers Concert. And that is when our dancers choreograph and they use their fellow students to be in their piece. So there's usually about six pieces, right? And it's all done by the students and it is moderated by a faculty member, but the students have to do it all. And I have to say, they come up with some absolutely beautiful ideas and some very challenging and compelling choreography. And our dancers are so strong, like just watching them. It's watching incredible athletes. That's what it's like. So this spring, we will also be doing the dance ensemble. That happens in March. And then we bring in guest choreographers from New York or from California or anywhere else in the country where there is a very notable choreographer that can come in and set their work on our dancers. Last year was an absolutely stunning concert from a lighting standpoint, from the choreography standpoint, from an execution standpoint by the dancers. Truly, truly a remarkable concert. And then also in late March, we tend to do our DeSales University Film Festival, which is affectionately referred to as DUF. And that's when our students, they tend to be sometimes senior projects, and sometimes they're by projects of other students in the TV film program. And, you know, we have a night of the film festival, and we've actually included now a high school film festival kind of competition, and they submit their films to our festival and they get judged, you know, just like our students get judged for the film festival, and only certain films make it into the festival. And that is a lot of fun. Because it's just fascinating to watch our TV film students, you know, work their way around all of the elements that it takes to make a film, between the camera and the lighting and the sound and the movement of the camera, you know, what you're doing with the aperture, how you're building the story, how you're going to tell the story with all of those instruments, right? You know, we're hoping things are going to get even more exciting because we recently built a virtual production studio, which is very exciting. Shows like The Mandalorian are shows that employ virtual production completely. And it is quite an undertaking and is quite a skill set to be able to pull it off. So our goal is to have our students learn all this so that when they go out, if that's something they choose to pursue, they will have worked in it, been exposed to it, and have knowledge of it. So very exciting stuff.
And I think some of the film students just wrapped up, the 72-hour film challenge?
The 72-hour film challenge is tomorrow night.
Oh, okay.
And you can get tickets. We stream it, and tickets are available, and you can call our box office for those tickets. And I believe the number is 610-282-3192, and you can get tickets for the stream. So that will happen. The stream is tomorrow night. Last weekend was the challenge.
Okay.
So, which is, that's also a lot of fun. That happens in the fall, obviously, because we're in the fall. But the, you know, they have 72 hours to do the whole thing.
That's fascinating.
Write it, shoot it, cast it, you know, the whole nine yards. So it's a lot of fun, you know.
I think so what comes through, it's interesting listening, whether it's, you know, act one, whether it's the stage pieces or the TV and film students working with the new studio and the film festival and the dance, and is that this is this mix of incredibly top-notch professional training, really, for the students, and yet you're also sharing with us in the community. You know, it gives us a resident company almost, or companies, the opportunity for us as audience to really enjoy top-notch, beautiful work as well.
Well, that's what's fun, too. Like, and I have to say, we love being together. You know, like all of the faculty really love being together. They love working with each other. We call it kind of like a cross-pollination, you know, between the three disciplines, because, you know, part of the 72-hour film festival can be and has been at times in the past. They do dance on film, which is fascinating. you know, and the theater majors are typically in the television and film majors films. And, you know, so that is happening. And then the other thing that kind of goes above and beyond, but also is a part of what we do, is we also have the Pennsylvania Shakespeare Festival.
Right.
So this building becomes a, you know, a place to go all year long. And I do know with the Pennsylvania Shakespeare Festival that, you know, our students are the ones who can audition to be part of the company. So our students get this rare opportunity to work with Broadway actors, you know, and directors at PSF. And that is so much fun for the kids. And they also get to do a children's show. And that's also something else we're doing in the spring is Pinocchio, which is going to be a lot of fun. And that's the senior class. Our senior class does Pinocchio, is doing Pinocchio this spring. And they have to do everything for it. That's a capstone course where they have to pick the play. They have to cast it. They have to direct it. They have to sell it. They have to, you know, build everything for it. So they're using all the skills they've learned over 4 years into that piece. Shakespeare also does a children's show. They do a touring piece as well. And then they do stuff on the Schubert and the main stage. So yeah, it's a neat thing that, you know, we exist, first of all, that we exist in the Lehigh Valley, and that, you know, people can come here and see an array of art in performance.
And sadly, there's so much to unpack here. Sadly, we're out of time for now. I would remind our audiences again, Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella is running November 29th through December 10th at the Labuda Center for the Performing Arts, and it sounds like a really magical show you don't want to miss, a really unique and exciting addition to holiday programming here in the Valley. And year-round, as Anne's been sharing with everyone, there's endless opportunities for fine dance, theater, film, all the performing arts right up the road. And thank you so much for joining us again today.
Thank you, Kate.
And thank you, listeners, for joining us. I'm Kate Scuffle, of course, and this is WDIY 88.1 FM, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. And I look forward to visiting with you again soon, right here in the Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. If you enjoyed this program, please go to WDIY.org or the WDIY app to share or become a WDIY member.